Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. Got my rock and music there going on, but cut, and that's okay. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. As always, I have an amazing guest. And if you have any questions or comments, what you can do, of course, is you can email me at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to answer some of your questions. We're not doing live call-ins today because, of course, we're just doing this great Zoom video, and also joining us live on latalkradio.com, channel one, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. So today, without further ado, I'm jumping into it. You can see my guest next to me here on the split screen, perhaps, in just a bit, if you're checking us out on our Facebook Live, LA Talk Radio. Judy Miller. She is an amazing, inspirational writer, teacher. She has had a journey in her life. The Blooming, and I'm going to tell you how you can get her book at the end of the show, but I really suggest you check it out. It's called Perfect, A Path to Love, Forgiveness, Transformation. And it'll just knock your socks off, basically, because she's going to tell us about her journey. So, you know, I always try to bring some of the most inspirational guests here on the couch. So you're going to learn today how to be probably a happier, healthier, more forgiving person. And this is what I hear from a lot of listeners and also patients who I see in my practices. How can I be a better person, basically? And I think Judy Miller is going to tell you that. And if you pick up her book as well, you're going to learn how to do that. So she's going to share with you some of her transformational journey and some of the things that happened to her and what she learned. So let's get to it. Judy Miller, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with me today.
Oh, it's so great to be here, Dr. Michelle.
This will be so much fun because I have so many questions. I was looking at the questions I wrote and I said, oh my gosh, I don't think I'm going to have enough time to just get all the information I can out of you, but we'll give it a try. How's that?
That sounds great.
Yeah. So let me maybe just give a little bit of an introduction to you and your journey. And I know that you were a very successful CPA and a corporate finance executive. But the thing is that I found so fascinating about your story is that, you know, you lived in a state of terror. And I went, whoa, okay. Because wait a minute, she's happily married with children. She's got a pretty good life, modern day, really cool life. But there was a nightmare going on within you and you didn't really know what that was about or why. And then one day, while sitting in church with your family, something amazing happened. And you're going to share that story a little bit more. And it really helped you on your guided journey to get rid of these fears and find your purpose in life and opened your heart more to love and sharing and all that. So if you could tell us, first of all, what really inspired you? And I think I just sort of blew it right there, you know, spoiler alert, but what was it that inspired you to write this book?
I guess I'll ask three questions to answer that. Have you ever felt different, like you didn't belong?
Yes.
or maybe you felt incomplete, always searching for someone or something to make you feel whole?
Yeah, yeah.
Or yeah. Maybe you were like me. Maybe you felt unworthy, always having to prove yourself over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, I can identify with that. And I think a lot of listeners feel all of those things as well. Mm-hmm. And have felt them.
Exactly. So the reason I ask these questions is because they literally have plagued me for most of my life, but I learned how to let them go. Wow. And that's the reason I actually wrote Perfect, is so I can show other people how to let go of the stories that no longer serve them.
Beautiful. And we're going to help listeners again find out more about how they can unfold their journey to learn and open up to some of these lessons as well. So can you give us just a, it's like a high level summary, and then we'll get into the dirt, you know, dirt, all the details and everything.
Sure. So, you know, people often ask me, what is Perfect about? And the subtitle of the book is A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. Mm-hmm. But what I found out is that there's so many different definitions of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's really simple. It means to forego or to let go of. Mm-hmm. And I think so many of us have painful and unwanted experiences in our lives. Yeah. We could either experience it once, or we could play it over and over again, hundreds, maybe even thousands of times until it becomes our story, becomes our identity. So for me, forgiveness is really just letting go of those contracted negative stories that no longer serve us. Wow. It's really an act of self-love. It's one of the greatest gifts that we could give ourselves. So I would love to just jump in and kind of give you an overview of the book. Okay.
So absolutely.
Like many children, I had fears as a child. I was afraid of drowning, but I was also terrified of the dark. Hmm. I was also afraid of being sexually assaulted, and I actually had never been assaulted. Wow. Wow. And I actually never shared that with anyone until this book came out.
Wow.
So as a child, I could literally sense and feel different energies at night, especially at night. And it terrified me because I didn't know if they were there to hurt me or to help me.
Oh,
So literally night after night, I would crawl into bed. I would pull the covers over my head and I would say the Lord's Prayer over and over again until literally exhausted, I would fall asleep.
Oh my goodness.
And this was my ritual night after night as a child.
Yes.
It continued well into my 20s. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, I started my career as a CPA. So here I was going to work during the day and then at night, crawling back into bed, terrified of what I couldn't explain.
Oh my gosh.
So I actually...
dreaded going to sleep at night, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And it's the only life I had ever known. Aww. And then I met my husband, and we got married and we had kids. And in the exhaustion of raising two incredible children, commuting 3 hours a day to work and working 40 to 50 hours a week, in the exhaustion, everything stopped.
Wow.
The terror stopped, the subtle energy stopped, the whispers stopped.
Wow.
But then my kids grew up and then they went off to college. And in the silence, every turn of you, that feels
absolutely.
Yeah. But then everything returned. The energies, the spirits, the whispers. I would literally tiptoe around my house afraid of what I might encounter. It felt like someone was always standing beside me,
in front
of me, eyes staring at me from across the room.
Yeah.
I would wake up at night, terrified, clutching at my husband. And soon we both began to lose sleep. but around the same time, I actually started to bleed uncontrollably month after month. I went to see my doctor, and she recommended that I have a hysterectomy.
Okay.
So after becoming a CPA, I went to work in finance in the healthcare industry for over 20 years. And I trust modern medicine implicitly. But I was terrified of the surgery.
Oh, I bet.
Couldn't understand why. But Dr. Michelle, it felt like the same terror I had as a child and the same terror that returned to me as an adult.
Yeah.
So a very good friend of mine recommended that I read a book called Light Emerging by Barbara Brennan.
Yeah.
Barbara was a former NASA physicist, and she actually studied the human energy field.
Yes.
And what she learned, she was actually able to heal people with her hands. So here I was literally days before my surgery, Googling on the internet.
Right, exactly.
And as I sat across from my healer for that very first time, I literally heard the click of a lock, like my entire life was locking into place.
Wow.
And at the time, I didn't know the role that that healer would actually play in my family's history. So my healer helped me heal after the hysterectomy. And then in the following months, we started to explore this uncontrollable fear of the darkness. So we looked at my childhood experiences. Was there anything from my childhood that elicited it? But nothing came to light. Wow. And then she introduced me to something that I had never even heard of. Yeah. And I know you recently had a guest. Yeah. She introduced me to past lives. She introduced me to the amazing work of Dr. Brian Weiss. Dr. Weiss was actually a very prominent psychiatrist. Right. He studied at Columbia. He studied at Yale. And he had this patient named Catherine who had these unexplainable fears and phobias. And hypnosis, they accidentally discovered that these phobias that she had was actually from a past life.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That is very scary. So did this healer of yours share with you your past life experiences?
So not at the moment. Yeah. So we started to actually talk about my parents, assuming that a lot of my fears might have from my parents. We know that we inherit many things from our parents, but the science of epigenetics says we could actually inherit the pain and the trauma from our parents.
Yes, it
does.
Which
was amazing.
And so that is epigenetics. Sorry to interrupt you, but that is this, because a lot of people want to know what that word is. It's thrown around a lot, but it's really true. It's what we inherit, through our parents and our children may from us or, whatever that may be, hopefully.
Yeah, it's actually amazing. They've actually done studies with mice where the mice's children and their grandchildren actually inherit the same pain and terror that their parents faced.
Oh my gosh.
So what we uncovered was that pain and terror of the night was actually a cellular memory from my mother. They actually say that every female baby is born with 2 to 3 million of their reproductive eggs at birth. And people, scientists believe that they actually don't produce anymore. There's some debate about that.
Mm, yeah.
On a cellular level, many of the traumas and the triumphs that your mother went through, on a cellular level, you were probably there.
Right. Isn't that amazing?
So we discovered that trauma was from my mother. But Dr. Michelle, you read the book. You know it doesn't end there.
I do.
There's actually a shocking past life connection to that very healer that I trusted in this lifetime to heal me.
Yes,
she was actually the one that inflicted the pain on my family. But Dr. Michelle, do you know in that moment I could have felt fear, betrayal, or anger?
Right.
I didn't. I felt was perfection and love of the universe. I saw how all of our souls are interconnected across lifetimes and how we're unconditionally loved and how we can heal in any moment.
That is, what a beautiful story. And I am with you all the way. And, as you said, thanks for listening. I have had, experts on and people who are spiritual teachers and just transformational beings like yourself to talk about not only the past life experience, but how they sort of awakened. And also something we're going to talk about is the importance of the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. And how we can come to understand and put our life puzzle together to understand where all these people fit in to our journey, our whole journey, if you want to call it. I mean, that was a great summary. And your book's broken up into three parts. So it has the story, and then it has the reflections looking back, and also the exercises. And I love the fact that this has all three components. So just sort of a no-brainer here, but why did you choose to lay it out that way?
I had heard that people only read the first 19 pages of a book.
Right.
So I wanted to make sure that when they picked up Perfect, they would want to read to the end.
Yes.
So the majority of Perfect, 80% of Perfect is actually written like a novel. So you want to know what's actually happening and how it ends. Mm-hmm. And then there's a handful of reflections so people could understand what are the lessons so they could apply it in their own lives. Mm-hmm. And then there are some very simple exercises, and I made them purposely simple because we're all very busy, right? So we have more to do. But I wanted them, exactly what you said before, I wanted them to be able to embody the experience themselves.
Yes.
So Perfect does include all three components.
Yes. And, it doesn't take, I think a lot of people, when they think about exercises or meditation or going within, that kind of thing, they think, oh, it's a chore. I have to really get it. The simpler, it's almost like the easier. And that's what we're designed to do, is to tune into that anyway. It's within us already, right?
Right, absolutely.
No. In case you guys just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and I'm speaking with, as you can see her, if you're on her Facebook Live, you're on LA Talk Radio, Judy Miller. She's the author of an amazing book, which is Perfect. It's one of the best self-help books, I call it, to really understanding who you are, why you're here, and your purpose in life. It's called Perfect, A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and transformation. And you can see, if you're checking her out, the book's right behind her, beautiful, kind of a maroon purple cover. So check it out. It's an amazing read. You won't be able to put it down because of her journey is exciting. And then you'll want to learn, wow, how can I overcome all of these things? If you tuned into the beginning of the show, you'll know Judy asked three questions, and it's about our own fears and our own feeling alone and how, you know, how we just can fit in and figure out what our lives are about. And this book really will help you do that. So let's talk about our stories. And we briefly mentioned, you know, how we carry through epigenetics, we carry those stories. Why do we create stories? And this is, side note here, something that I teach psychologically, but it's a little bit different than what you're teaching in your book. How do these stories we create within ourselves become our identities?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great question. Mm-hmm. And I don't think stories are necessarily bad. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Michelle, you're beautiful, you're courageous, you're changing the world. Oh. Those are beautiful stories that empower you, right? But we also have negative disempowering stories that keep us prisoners in our own life. Mm-hmm. So just an example, I'm a numbers person, right? So mm-hmm. we have 60,000 thoughts a day. 95% of them are the same ones we had yesterday and the day before.
Right.
And 80% of them are negative, right?
Right.
So we are hardwired to notice and think about the negatives in a situation. And I think millions of years ago when we were cavemen and cavewomen, it served us. It's helped protect us. It was part of survival.
Sure it was.
But we no longer live in that reality.
Right, right.
So we need to retrain our minds.
Yeah.
Exactly. To not just focus on the negatives.
Right. So those are our stories and our identities and what we believe about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And there's so many techniques out there, but I know you share some of these, you know, things. But so our stories involve thoughts and ideas and feelings about who we are, whether they're embrace my gifts, or my parents told me I was never going to amount to anything, or I'm very shy and I'm an isolated person. I'll never be able to have a personality or be loved. Those are all of our ongoing stories and the same old thoughts that mm-hmm. are through repetition and rehearsal, because we're in hypnosis, just going back to those old thoughts, right? So we need to break free of some of those thoughts. And how are some of the ways that we can do that? Or what are some of the ways?
So I think first is awareness. Mm. So I believe the body tells the truth. The mind, the stories, the labels, the judgments we create in our minds are not always true, right?
Oh, yeah.
So just as a simple example. So before I got on this show, my heart was racing. My stomach was fluttering. My throat was kind of tight. But people might label those sensations as nervousness. But those sensations feel exactly the same way for me when I'm excited.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's up to us.
Yeah.
We decide what label, what judgments, mm-hmm. what stories we create in our lives.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the book, My Stroke of Insight by Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor.
I have not, but I'm writing it down.
She was a Harvard neuroscientist who was actually able to heal herself from traumatic brain damage.
My goodness.
But in her book, what she talks about is she says it takes us 90 seconds. So when an event happens, either good or bad, it takes us 90 seconds for us to actually process that event through our physiology and then let it go.
Wow.
After those 90 seconds are up, it's up to us. So we could either release it and let it go. We could either create a story. It could either be empowering or disempowering. So I believe the first step, you said, how do we get rid of these
things? Yes, yes.
I believe the first step, I have an acronym, I call it NEST. The first step is to notice and observe. Become aware of when you're creating those stories.
Yes.
So between stimulus and response, there's a gap. And in that space, notice your reactions. Notice if you're creating the story. Mm-hmm. So what I like to say is, flick it off before it takes root in your body and in your mind.
Right. That's beautiful. I mean, that's so important. It's mindfulness, you know, being aware of what you're thinking in the moment. That's being present, you know, more of a being a conscious being and being present of the moment instead of, you know, as so many people talk about, and I know you talk about here, is, you know, just getting up and going into that alpha stage of hypnosis. And we're literally walking through our lives, our computers, checking our texts, be aware of your thoughts, be aware of these well, they're not unconscious, but they're more like subconscious thoughts that bubble up in these negative stories that you're holding on to, or the trauma that you're holding on to. And I guess people who have PTSD, they never really allowed themselves to let go of these stories and you know, the trauma and the horrific things that they've had to deal with in their lives.
Right.
So, you know, that I think is what's going on. So, yeah.
But, you know, but I think it's so many of us. So many of us haven't been trained on how to deal with our emotions.
Yeah.
I know that for most of my life, I haven't been. Mm-hmm. For most of my life, I actually thought about them.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And you don't release them by thinking about them. You release them by truly embodying them and letting them go.
Yeah. So when we embody them, we're aware of them. And embody literally means check out our body and what's happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, right. So how do we do that? And how do we control our thoughts and manage them with our body?
Mm-hmm. So that's a great question. So when an event happens, notice where you feel it in your body.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So one of the things that I tell people is to acknowledge it first. So you could put your hand on whatever part of your body you feel the sensation. So I'm going to give you an example. So, so most of my life, I felt different. Right. I was also born with 11 fingers, so I felt really different.
No, you didn't. No, you weren't.
So because of a variety of different reasons, I felt different as a child. So when people said hurtful things, it felt literally like an elephant sitting on my chest and I couldn't breathe.
Of course.
So if you have a situation that you can think of where it causes you to contract, put your hand on that area. It could be your heart, it could be your solar plexus, it could be any other part of your body. And if you can't reach it, just imagine it. It's just as effective. Mm-hmm. And I recommend that people just close their eyes, just gently breathe in and out of that area. Breathe your loving presence. Your spirit is your breath. And over time, you will start to feel that contracted energy begin to soften, potentially dissolve. And we're only doing this for a couple of seconds.
Sure.
The more that you do it, you bring yourself back into your body.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it's so true. And so it's, you know, breathing into that spot wherever you're feeling the discomfort or wherever. And usually for me and a lot of the patients I work with, you know, it's focusing on the heart, you know, because of the sensory neurites, the 40,000 sensory neurites that we have, which are the little brain that really we feel in our hearts. So I think a lot of our illnesses, a lot of our disturbances come from not healing that chakra, that heart chakra. But that's beautiful, you know.
Our bodies are actually amazing. They're like blueprints. So the stories that we carry actually get attached to certain parts of our bodies.
Oh, my goodness.
So remember,
remember
I mentioned to you that one of the fears that I had was sexual assault.
Yes, what was that about? Your mom?
Yes. So my mom was actually attacked as a child.
Oh, my goodness.
But isn't it interesting, Dr. Michelle, that pain happened to manifest on the same exact place that I needed surgery? That's why I'm saying our body is so intelligent.
So do we create our body's problems with our thoughts and feelings? Is that what you're saying?
So our bodies are infinitely intelligent. So Louise Hay, the former Louise Hay, she was the founder of Hay House. She wrote a book called You Can Heal Your Body, You Can Heal Your Life. And there's been some great work done by John Newton. The different parts of your body are associated with different stories, traumas, emotions that you haven't processed. Just very generally. So if you have a pain in your elbow, and again, this is a generalization. If you have a pain in your elbow, perhaps you feel unsafe. If you have issues with your knees, maybe because you can't move forward in life.
Wow.
So our body is more intelligent than we believe.
Oh my goodness. It so is. And we don't realize it because, I mean, we are born without that knowledge. And of course, we learn that they're separate. Our minds and bodies are separate. And you fall, you have a boo-boo and you put a Band-Aid on it. And then you stop crying and get up and go on or whatever it is. So that is fascinating that, you know, that part of your body, you know, is what was traumatized. And you said that you had the help and you had that fear, of course, prior to surgery, as most of us do, but you got through that with your amazing journey. So can you share with us some of the inspirational things that you learned after that?
Sure. There was probably five or six that I included in the book. The first one you mentioned was Good Friday. And it's interesting. It's interesting because Good Friday represents rebirth for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I felt like I was slowly dying inside.
Yeah.
And it happened to happen on that day. And I was sitting in church, minding my own business.
Yes.
I'm sure.
minding my own business. Right.
I was waiting for Mass to start.
Around, right.
I was waiting for Mass to start and my kids were all probably on their cell phones. Yeah. But then this overwhelming feeling of love descended upon me. And it was beyond anything that I could describe. It was every sensation of love magnified a million times. And the reason I wanted to share that with people is because if we knew how much we are loved, unconditionally loved, we would never doubt ourselves again.
Yes. Yes. It's so true. And we can't per se get it from out there. We have to understand and feel that it's within here, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. So you asked about my past life experience.
Yeah.
So when I went to Dr. Weiss's past life regression, I fell asleep. I slept through the entire thing. So so it was so relaxing.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. Yeah.
But when my healer offered one in her office, I jumped at the opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And as I laid there on the table, I literally felt myself like literally rising through this purple haze. And then I came out into this bright white light.
Wow.
Almost sounds like a near-death experience.
Yeah,
it does. I was wide awake. So this overwhelming feeling of love descended upon me again, bright white light. And the message that I got was, we can all come home. We can all come home by loving and accepting who we are exactly as we are. And that the joy is in the reunion, in the remembrance of who we are. And I believe that the isolation that we feel now, that many of us feel now, from many people say it's because of COVID-19. I believe a lot of the loneliness we feel is not the isolation from each other.
Yes.
But the isolation from ourselves. We've become disconnected with the essence of who we truly are.
Yes, I agree. I think we really have. And I think not only that, but it's the universal consciousness of what we're all dealing with. And it's all about energy. We're picking up energy. I mean, how many times have you thought, you know, you've gone out and masked up and done a few things or whatever. And you said, well, it's more than just feeling isolated. When you go out, because you're very empathic and you know about energy and you tune into people, but when how many times have you said, oh, well, it's way more than this. You know, it's I'm picking up so much from everyone and they're, you know, their feeling and the sadness associated and the lack of control, you know, that we all have over our lives.
Right.
But, yeah. So go ahead.
So I see so many parallels. So in that experience, I was told we could all come home, but isn't it funny that in COVID-19, we're being all sent home?
I do believe
it's a reminder because we, so many of us have abandoned ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually, and it's not selfish. You know, when we love ourselves more deeply, we could love others more.
Boy, is that true. You start within first. And so many people who I work with are, you know, they're always looking for it out there. You know, that relationship, the perfect person is going to make me feel full and better about myself. The perfect home or the perfect, I've got to have a child, you know, or children, because that's going to make me feel like I'm fitting into society and it's going to fill me. Nope. Got to have it happen right in here first because nothing, I mean, you'll have things out there come to you, but it's where your consciousness is at and what you're drawing to you that you have to be mindful of.
So there's a part of perfect that illustrates that, if I can share it with your listeners.
Love it. Would love to do that.
So as I mentioned that I felt different most of my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it funny that I attracted a man into my life that who is racially, culturally, and religiously different?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe the universe always answers us, but not in the way that we think. So I always was fascinated with near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. So in Perfect, you probably know since you've read the book, there's a scene where my mother-in-law just passed away.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I happened to be communicating with her. I think it was because my heart was wide open. And when your heart is open, you're able to heal.
Yes.
But she came to me and literally in seconds, I saw every interaction with my husband and his family flash before me. Mm. And they talk about it in a near-death experience where your entire life actually flashes before you in seconds. So I saw every interaction with his family.
Right.
And what I got from that was, because I felt different, I made myself different. What we project is mirrored back to us. It's only just a reflection of what we're sending out, emitting our energy.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that true? And it's scary because there's really, it's hard to, you know, really come to terms with that because I'm not doing that. But wait a minute. All of your fears have come true back to you in your life to teach you some lessons about how you can step it up a bit. You know what I'm saying? Right?
And, you know, it sounds kind of weird, but whenever I feel a contraction in my body, I say thank you. Do you know why I say thank you?
Why? Why do you do
that? I say thank you because I know that there's a contracted energy or story that I'm holding on to that I need to heal and let go.
Oh, boy.
So right now,
but
right now there's so much contracted energy going on in the world with relationships and the planet. Mm-hmm. But maybe it's the universe's way of saying it's time to heal.
Yes. And you can find out how to heal if you get a hold of Judy Miller's book, my special guest today. It's called Perfect, A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. And it's all about self-love. It's all about getting in tune with your higher self, and that's within you. And also all the steps that you can do are in her book to help you come to terms with that, how you can open yourself up to being, you know, a more, for a lack of a better word, spiritual or in tune being that you were meant to be. I mean, we were all given this gift that we're totally unaware of until we have these aha moments or these experiences that really hit us. Judy, what do you attribute having that experience while you were sitting in church on Good Friday? I mean, all of a sudden you have this amazing energy come over you and you have these openings to awareness and spiritual experiences.
I think the major reason is because I was starting to live from my heart. I was starting to open up. Mm. You know, I mentioned that I was a CPA, but I didn't mention to you that my parents are accountants. Mm. My sister's an accountant. My husband is a CPA also.
Wow.
So for most of my life, I was actually living in my head.
Yeah.
But on this experience, I learned to truly feel and to open up my heart. Mm. And I think through love is how we experience these miracles.
Mm. Is that true? And I think by using some of your tools, all of your tools in your book, because a lot of people, you know, will get help from that because many times they come to me and, you know, they say, I don't know how to feel and or my feelings are so painful or I can't bear the feelings that I have. And your book, Perfect, really does help people understand how to work with these feelings, you know, that you're having. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. So absolutely.
It's really helpful. Yeah.
And I think sometimes people don't want to feel the feelings.
Right.
It's only because it's only because it's unknown. It makes them feel uncomfortable.
Well,
perhaps.
Of course. Yeah. I think you're right. And I think a lot of people through their, you know, early experiences or perhaps inheriting epigenetically, you know, from parents or generations or whatever that would be. And it's really a Jungian kind of thing, you know. But I think that a lot of people feel that, you know, they just can't let go of a lot of these feelings. They can't heal. They don't know, you know, what to do with themselves. And also, I think a lot of people are afraid to open up their hearts because they have been stomped on or not felt loved, you know, in their early environment. And when they open up their hearts or as children, they were told to be quiet or behave or don't be too expressive in your feelings, be humble. You know, all of these messages and stories that we buy into and then we embrace and bring into our identity. So,
and you know, many of those stories I've heard my entire life as well, but I learned that when you open your heart and you're vulnerable is when you truly live. It's through the emotions of life that we truly live, not the thoughts.
Yes. What do you think about of the heart-brain coherence work that the HeartMath Institute, of course, introduced to us and all of the researchers? Is that a lot about what you're really sharing in this book?
I do definitely think there's a heart-brain connection. I'm not an expert on heart coherence, so I don't want to, you know, share any information that's not appropriate or accurate.
But I think that's what you're talking about, basically. You know, can you tell us a little bit more about forgiveness? Because I find that it can be very hard for many people, myself included sometimes, who've been hurt or, you know, felt betrayed or sad. And, you know, those moments we keep going back to that you talked about. How do we learn to forgive and let go?
Right. So I think one of the important things to remember is that forgiveness is not condoning the actions of another person. Mm-hmm. It's basically getting you out of the cycle of victimhood so you can move forward and experience freedom. Mm-hmm. I would love to share a story if you have some time.
I'd love to hear it.
So Little Soul in the Sun is a children's book written by Neil Donald Walsh.
Right.
And basically it says, in heaven, there's only perfection. So we don't know the magnificence of who we are because everything is perfect. Mm-hmm. Without darkness, there is no light, right? Mm-hmm. So in heaven, we decide that we're going to go to earth and learn these lessons. But when we come to earth, we're pretending so hard to be what we're not, we forget. So in this book, this little soul wants to experience forgiveness. And God says, there's nothing here to forgive because everything is perfect. Mm. So this beautiful angel of light comes forward and says, I love you and I will help you experience forgiveness. I will do something so terrible that you will have to learn to forgive. You will have to learn unconditional love. Mm. But please remind me in that moment when I strike you, please remind me of who I am because I'll be pretending so hard to be what I'm not. Mm. I will have forgotten.
Oh, wow. That's a great story.
And it's a children's story.
Yes,
I think it's so perfect to explain.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And it's, you know, I mean, I know a lot of adults that, who are saying, huh, let me think about that really right now. So,
But, you know, Dr. Michelle, how many people have you met that has gone through adversity in their lives? And that it actually makes them. Oftentimes, many of them say they would.
Yes. Yes. They say, you know, I would because of what I have learned from it. And, you know, that they always say, you know, through pain, that's the only way you can learn lessons. And it's tough to hear. You know, I remember hearing that growing up. And I go, oh, okay. You know, and you try to push that off. But sometimes you just have to allow those feelings and, you know, not push it off and just to feel those feelings and observe them and just allow yourself to process them through self-love. Mm-hmm. And I guess thank the universe or your higher power or whoever that is for bringing these lessons and information to you. Like you said, when you get those glitches or those feelings, you have gratitude, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, and in the moment that we're in, it can feel very painful and unwanted.
Yes, yes.
But when that things interconnect,
right.
You see that perhaps it's serving us.
Mm. So is there a reason, you know, Dolores Cannon, is that mm-hmm. Dolores Cannon? Yeah.
Yes.
I love listening to her. She is the coolest. She's the
convoluted
coolest.
Universe.
Oh, man. But so there's a reason why we're not remembering past life issues. We have to come back and sort of learn these things ourselves. And of course, we take upon ourselves some of the epigenetic inheritance as well. There's a reason why we come in here with these tabula rasa, really, to deal with our new experiences in life and learn how to navigate them. Is that what that's about?
You know, I heard an analogy once that I love. Do you like sports?
Yeah.
Any particular sport?
I like baseball. I'm a Dodger fan.
I grew up being a Dodgers fan.
Hey, go Dodgers!
In the Steve Yeager, Tommy Lasorda era.
So,
Dr. Michelle, if you knew how the game was going to end, would it be just as exciting?
No. Well said. Exactly. And, you know, a lot of psychics have said, you know, to me or people on the show have said, do you want to know how it all ends? I go, no, heck no. I mean, or, you know, they ask guests, you know, or other, you know, listeners or something like that. Most of us are no, you know, but yeah. So that's perfectly put. I mean, mm-hmm. it's our journey to learn. And you talk about, you know, sort of the guides and sort of these entities and these spirits, however you describe them around you. Who are some of these entities who've come to you, and why? And are they not good vibrational soul beings, or what are they?
So as a child, I could sense and feel different energies. And because I had this trauma that was living in my body, I didn't know where these energies were coming from. Mm. Yes. But on this journey, I realized that we have so many guides, our ancestors, they're always with us. All we need to do is ask for their help. And, you know, when I was recovering from my surgery in bed, I didn't take any prescription drugs, even though I had worked in the healthcare industry. My doctor thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But I heard so many stories about yeah. people being addicted. I didn't want to go there.
Sure.
So I laid in bed most of the time, and this Irish guide would drift in and out of my awareness, and she would come and she would stay with me. And one of the things that she said to me was, she said, "You're always loved, never alone, never abandoned. If you knew who stood beside you, you would never be afraid." And that's so true for all of us. If you knew who stood beside you, if you knew all your angels, guides, and your ancestors were surrounding yes, you in yes. every moment loving you, Dr. Right. Michelle, would you live your life differently?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if I knew, I'd be constantly asking. And I think we're always wondering, and how can we tune in and find out perhaps who might be surrounding us and guiding us along our journey?
I think part of it is asking. I do believe asking you shall receive. But as I mentioned before, sometimes the universe answers us in ways we don't expect. So I think it's important to be open, receptive, yes. and to listen.
Right. I mean, and we always want, you know, that beautiful, wonderful Aunt Sally to come back and be with us. Oh, I know my best friend, you know, who passed away when I was 13. In an accident. I'm always waiting for Michael to come back and be with me. But isn't that kind of narcissistic? I think Michael's probably hanging out with his sister and his brother and, you know, guiding along. You know, there are, or do you get a feeling that just folks randomly come in, our souls or whoever? Are they relatives? Are they just beings who choose us, or we choose them, or how does that work?
Well, I do believe that I'm not sure if this is answering your question, but I do believe that we travel as soul clusters or soul families. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes we travel with the same people.
That's interesting. So we make agreements, as Dolores would say, we make soul agreements or something before we come back here, maybe?
Absolutely. Soul contracts.
Yeah, soul contracts.
Yeah. Dr. Sue Mortar calls it the bus stop conversation.
That's, I love that.
What agreement did you make at the bus stop?
That's right. Oh, no, not that one again. Do I have to learn that agreement again? No.
But, you know, one of the things that she happens to be my mentor, one of my mentors, but one of the things that she teaches is it's a privilege to be here.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is. I think it's the planet of learning. You know, this is, a lot of people say, well, this is the planet where, you know, we're the lowest conscious beings in the universe because we need to learn. But I really think that this is an inspiring journey here on this plane, because this is where we learn a lot of lessons about consciousness and who we are.
Yeah. You know, before when you were introducing me, you talked about some of the exercises in the book and that they're, you know, rather simple and they are on purpose. And I think one of them is create, for we are the creator. We are made of the creative life force of the universe.
Yes.
If we only knew.
Yes. And it's tuning in. And folks, you can get her book, and I'm going to tell you how in just a little bit. Perfect, A Path to Love, Forgiveness, and Transformation. And find out how to go within and really embrace that higher power within you. And by the way, to me, this does not conflict with any religious beliefs at all. It's not... I mean, I think every religion, save some of the dogma about what you're supposed to do or the other individuals, you know, who don't believe as you. But this is applying to all religions, all, you know, faith in a God or higher power or the understanding of who you are, right?
Absolutely. My husband and I are actually different religions, and I believe...
Are you?
I believe I tell my kids this all the time. Roads lead home. So
yes, exactly. All roads lead same place, you know, same home. Who are some of the most inspirational teachers that you have met and also read and, you know, who I know who you refer to in your book, but.
Yes. And actually there's five free bonuses from some of my favorite mentors. So I'm going to mention them because they are my mentors and I love them so much. Deborah Poneman, Janet Atwood, and John Newton are some of my mentors.
Oh, they're amazing.
And I'm so grateful for their teachings.
Oh, they are high conscious beings. And what are some of the most profound teachings you've learned from a few of these teachers?
So really Dr. Sue and John Newton, it's all about getting back into our bodies. You know, I went through this experience experientially and just their teachings helped me to really understand how important it is for us to be in our bodies.
Mm. And I think there's a difference between being in our bodies and as we call in psychology, having a somatic form or somatic disorder, you know, oh my God, this is terrible. You know, that kind of thing. It's getting in touch with our bodies and what we're feeling in those parts of our bodies and clearing, right? Rather than, you know, running to the doctor. It's
there's a little picture.
I love it. Yay!
Have you seen this before? Okay.
I love that.
Okay. So for people who can't see, there's a little stick figure in the middle.
Oh yeah.
And this is Dr. Sue's energy man. And then this is our energy feel or our aura.
Right.
So the emotional pain trauma that we don't process gets literally stuck in our energy field.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And
true.
Because it gets stuck in our energy field, what happens is it creates a distortion.
Yeah.
And that distortion distorts how we see and experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say when we feel a contracted energy in our body to say thank you, because it's an opportunity to clear that from our energy field. Mm-hmm. They say the pain and the trauma that we often experience in our body or even the disease, first it starts in our energy field and then it manifests in our bodies.
Boy. So we're taking it in from the energetic field around us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And some of the scientists, you know, I was listening to Dr. Joe Dispenza talk about some of the work they're doing at HeartMath Institute. And he said that our energy field, they've measured it in the laboratory. It's up to, I guess, 9 feet, 3 meters,
wow.
I guess what they can say. So they've measured that actually. They can actually see it, in their work in the laboratory. So it's real. It exists. And it's what kind of energy do you want to take in? And what kind of energy do you guys want to put out there into the universe? Because what you put out into that, whatever you want to call it, the higher power, God field, consciousness, you know, the quantum field, whatever, it is going to reflect back to you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, so don't live in fear, because you have to open your hearts and embrace it, right? Right,
yeah.
Judy?
Yeah. I drew another picture for you.
Oh,
only
goody.
For you. Only
Thank
for you.
You. Thank you.
So it might be hard to read, but it's Nest.
Beautiful.
So N, notice or become aware of the stories that you're creating in your life. So remember, between stimulus and response, you've got that gap. Notice the stories you're creating.
Right.
Then E, experience the emotions in your body and then let it go after those 90 seconds that we talked about.
Beautiful. Yes.
And then S, scratch the record so you can't play that story anymore. So disrupt that story.
Yes. Yes. Find a way.
Mm-hmm. Find a way. And then the last one, T, tender love and care for yourself. It's all about self-love and self-care.
Oh, I love that acronym. That's beautiful. And we're going to share that, of course, on the website afterwards. What's the best way viewers and listeners can find your book and get more information about you?
Sure. So they can visit me at Judy, J-U-D-I. So it's Judy with an I, Miller.net. And when you purchase my book, you can buy it on Amazon or any other retailer. But I recommend Amazon because my website will take you directly there. But you also get 5 free bonuses from some of my top transformational mentors, Dr.
Beautiful.
Sue, Marcy, Deborah,
right.
and Janet Atwood. And then all my social handles are there. But Dr.
Beautiful.
Michelle, no purchase necessary. A gift to your listeners. On my website, there's a free ebook called Awaken the Creator Within.
Oh, it's
totally
been wonderful, by the way, guys. So please check it out. And also
pick up her book. It's right behind her. I'm holding it up right now. Beautiful. Perfect. It's a perfect book. One of the best spiritual and self-help books I've read. Thank you for being with us today on the couch, Judy. You're the best.
It was such an honor. Thank you so much.
Oh, blessings to you and your family. And thank you, guys. You can listen to the show again if you'd like. You can watch it again on our Facebook page, LA Talk Radio, or latalkradio.com, channel 1, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. Take good care.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.